Begin the reading on Shikshamrita. Again, I'd like to encourage everyone to take part in the functions morning program. This morning, attendance was better than the day before, but still, devotees are still not participating in the program. This is something that we have to really see the importance of in terms of developing our Krishna consciousness. And it's also a responsibility and a duty and a service to remind others, your God brothers and sisters and others, to take part. It's not just the responsibility of the temple leaders to encourage everyone, but everyone should remind each other and encourage each other to take part in these functions. These functions are the basis of our spiritual advancement, and without them, practically, as Srila Prabhupada said, there's no spiritual advancement. So we have to come and attend these functions, Mangal Arati, Tulsi Puja, Japa, and the other programs. And you'll find that Krishna consciousness becomes easier the more strict you are, the more loose you are, the more difficult it gets. In this material life, people think, well, the more leisure time, the more free time I have, the more I can enjoy life. But in spiritual life, the more you engage in service, the more you're happy and the more you're really feeling the mercy of Krishna. So that's the key to devotional service. So we must always come to the functions and chant nicely our rounds every day, and we'll always remain happy in Krishna consciousness. Okay, so especially I'd like to re-emphasize, this is the month of Damodar, and the month of Damodar not only means basis, but it means increase. So this month means increased devotional service. And there's one scripture called the Damodar Mahatmya, which gives the standards for austerities to perform during this month, such as eating once a day, hearing added discussions on the scriptures, waking, being awake for the last 3 hours in the evening. That means whatever sun rises, 3 hours before sunrise. So these are all suggested austerities for this particular month. Increasing one's japa, decreasing one's eating and sleeping, and increasing one's devotional service. It's special mercy, special blessings, because in this month, this is the month of Radharani. As Krishna is non-different than Magashirsha, November, December, Radharani is non-different than the month of Damodar, the month of Kartik. And her special blessings come in this month. And it's explained that whatever devotional service you perform in this month, you get an increase of 100 times potency of that service. So the increased potency of your devotional service is enhanced 100 times for this month. And of course, many people go to the holy land of Vrindavan, wherein the increase is at least 1,000 times or more, unlimitedly. So no matter how much service we have, we can always increase our hearing and chanting. And I'll give you a good example. The top administrative person in our whole movement, the president or the chairman of the GVC, whose name is Ravinder Sarup, who's got more managerial responsibilities than anyone, plus he has a spiritual master, he has disciples, and he has preaching responsibilities. For this whole month, he's gone to Vrindavan, he's chanting 64 rounds every day, and he's reducing his eating and sleeping. So here's the chairman of the GBC, who's setting the example of what we can do to propagate Krishna consciousness in the world, to set a personal example of austerity, and at the same time to inspire others and to show that this is really where our heart and soul is hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, especially in this month. So Radharani is always eager to give her mercy, but this month she's more eager, so we should take advantage of that and increase our devotional service. Okay. Any comments? Questions? I'd like someday to give a class on Dhammadhar, on the meaning of the month of Dhammadhar, but I don't think today is the appropriate day. I can do it someday, though. It's a long class, and it describes the whole pastimes of the month of Dhammadhar. But today we'll stick to the standard, and we'll continue there. So this is the reading from Sri Shikshamrita. This is Srila Prabhupada's letters to his disciples. This is Association, Leaving Association of Devotees. This is the continuation. I am in due receipt of your letter dated August 20th, 1972, and I'm quite surprised to read it. This does not sound like you. All along I've been discouraged in every way by my godbrothers, but still I have stuck to my duty, keeping my spiritual master always in front. Because there is some fighting or bickering amongst us, that doesn't mean that I should go away. If I understood the order of my spiritual master rightly, then I must perform my duty under any circumstances and never once think of going away under disgust. I have appointed you to be my GBC representative in South America, because I think that you are very much responsible and capable of doing it. And I'm very fond of you and your good wife, Govinda Dasi, for helping me all along. So do not be disturbed or worried by some small thing, rumor, or misunderstanding. There is no plot against our so-called big men. There is no plot amongst our so-called big men against you, or Siddha Sarupananda. That is childish. At letters to Gaurasundar, 26th August, 1972. So Prabhupada's encouraging. We should always, no matter what difficulties there are, we continue with our spiritual life. This letter is to Gaurasundar again, same day, August 26, 1972. I have requested Siddha Sarupananda to meet me in Los Angeles. But if he is not able to then come, I am coming to Hawaii soon on my way to India, and I can meet him there and take him to India with me. Meanwhile, do not be disturbed. Everything is all right. If I cannot reply if I cannot rely on you to assist me in the GBC position, then who can I rely on? So I beg you to reassure me that you will continue to help me in this way and do not become withdrawn from your active role. Kindly relieve me of this great anxiety. I want to retire now and simply concentrate on translating work. But how can I do it if I cannot give over the management of my society to all of my advanced senior disciples? If one moment you are willing, and the next moment there is some small disagreement, immediately you all go away, how can I be calm in my mind? I'm going to India by the first week of October, and I shall stop over one night in Honolulu en route, and we can discuss the matter further at that time. So you can see there's always been problems in our movement. Problems are always there. It's just Prabhupada dealt with the problems very carefully and very concernedly. This is to Krishnadas, 9th September. Regarding your questions, you say that amongst the elder disciples there are still some symptoms of greed, anger, strife, bickering, etc. But you are one of them. You are one of the old students, so you fall in that group. So the fighting is among that group, but not amongst the real workers. There was fighting amongst the gopis also. So we cannot expect that there will be some utopia without fighting. There is even in the spiritual sky transcendental greed, lust, envy, like that. But that is transcendental. Hamsa Duda is maintaining his position of service. So why, even if a little fighting, you should go away? We should never give up our duty. My godbrothers always discouraged me, but I did not give up. I'm doing my duty and always keeping my spiritual master in front. Even there is some difficulty or hardship, or even my godbrothers may not cooperate, or there may be some fighting. Still, I must perform my duty to my spiritual master and not become discouraged and go away. That is my weakness. Next one is Banu Tanya Dasi, 18th November. One thing is, I'm very much sad to learn that you have left the company of the devotees over this incident at Gurukul. Now you are living by yourself because you have been hurt by seeing that the children are sometimes mistreated, and because no one has taken your good advice in this connection. But you may be assured that I am always anxious about the welfare of my disciples, so that I am taking steps to rectify this unfortunate situation. Now, my advice to you is to give up these feelings and return to your life in Krishna consciousness devotional service. If you go back to Dallas and demonstrate to the other teachers there just the proper way to instruct and discipline the students nicely, that will be a great service. I'm forwarding the copy of this letter with your letter to Satsarup for his immediate attention. So I have given you the guiding principles. It is not that I must be consulted in every detail. That is the business of the in charge. But if no one is there, who can manage in the right way? What can I do? Now, if you have the right idea how to do it, you may go there again and take some responsible post for correcting the situation. That will be your real duty, not that there is some agreement and I go away disgusted. No, that is not Vaishnava standard. Standard should be, never mind there is some difficulty. My spiritual master has ordered me to do like this. Now let me do it, that's all. So that is a very important instruction coming from Srila Prabhupada, in that he's giving the general course of events, and that is, there is always difficulty. To be in the material world means to be in difficulty. To be in the material body means to be in difficulty. And to take up a spiritual life means to fight against the tendency of this world. The tendency of this world is to enjoy sense gratification. So when one takes up spiritual life, as Srila Prabhupada used to say, you're declaring war against Maya. You're declaring war against. In other words, you're beginning a fight. And in that fight, there will be some difficulties. There may even be setbacks. But that doesn't discourage the devotee. In fact, sometimes it even encourages the devotee. When we find difficulties, difficulties are opportunities for spiritual advancement. They are opportunities for spiritual advancement. So Maya is there, and of course we have to purify our consciousness from our tendency to try to enjoy the material energy. So there is a struggle. So we should not be mistaken that we should look for easy life, because what happens is we go looking for easy life and we find ourselves going from one position to another. And gradually we find ourselves back in the material world again. And there's no easy life. Better to just fight where you are and do your best and depend on Krishna. And that way you'll become happy. Arjuna actually was the example of a person who was not only, you know, he was in a position where he had a very difficult service to fight against his relatives, friends, well-wishers, teachers, grandfather, everything. But yet he did it. And ultimately, he's glorified for that. So they say that if you want to make a diamond, you put it under pressure. So a little pressure is good. A little difficulty is good because it brings out the fighting spirit. Now, if it doesn't bring out the fighting spirit but just brings us away from the fight, then that means that we are not understanding the reality of existence, because everywhere you go there's difficulties. So better fight for Krishna than to have to suffer and struggle and fight just to try to maintain some position in the material world. Better be a Krishna's warrior than Maya's soldier. Maya's shoulders get shot down. Krishna's warriors ultimately attain to the supreme destination. So I've been meeting devotees lately who have been telling me, you know, about so much difficulties they're having. And they're always seem like they're changing their position in order to make their situation better. But it just seems like it gets worse. It gets worse. So best to just do wherever you are, stay there and become Krishna conscious. And that's the best situation. Don't look for a better arrangement. There is no better arrangement. Okay. Any comments or questions? No comment, okay. Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 9, Chapter 2, Text Number 17. Dristar Darstam Abhut Shatram Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Shito Nigasya Vamsa Sumatir Bhute Jyotis Tato Vasuhu Dristam Dastam Abhutyastram Dristadarsham Abhutyastram Brahma Bhuya Gatam Shito Nirgasya Vamsam Sumatir Bhuta Jyotis Tato Vasahu Drasta Drastam Abhut Shastram Brahma Bhuyam Gata Shito Nigasya Vasam Sumatir Bhuta Jyotis Tato Vasahu Drasta Drista Dastam Abhut Shastram Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Shito Nigasya Vasam Sumatir Bhuta Jyotis Tato Vasahu Drista. From Drista, another son of Manu. Darstam, a cast of the name Darsta. Abhut was produced. Kshatram, belonging to the Kshatriya group. Brahmabhuyam, the position of the Brahmanas. Gatam had achieved. Shito, on the surface of the world. Nirgasya of Nirga, another son of Manu. Vamsa, the dynasty. Sumati, of the name Sumati. Bhuta Jyoti, of the name Bhuta Jyoti. Tata thereafter. Vasuhu, of the name Vasu. Translation, purport, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. From the son of Manu, named Drista, came a Kshatriya caste called Dharsta, whose members achieved the position of Brahmanas in this world. Then, from the son of Manu, named Nirga, came Sumati. From Sumati came Bhuta Jyoti, and from Bhuta Jyoti came Vasu. Purport. Here it is said, Kshatram Brahma Bhuyam Gatam Sito. Although the Dharstas belonged to the Kshatriya caste, they were able to convert themselves into Brahmanas. This gives clear evidence supporting the following statement by Narada. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35. Yasya ya laksanam proktam pumsavarnam vibijanikam yad anyatrapi drisyeta tattenaiva vinirdiset. If the qualities of one group are found in men of another, those men should be recognized by their qualities, by their symptoms, not by the caste of the family in which they were born. Birth is not at all important. It is one qualities that are stressed in the Vedic literature. End of purport. Om Gyan Timirandasya Kina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swampadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Srivasa Gauravatamin Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. Can you hear me okay? How's that? Is that better? Okay. There's one story in the Vedic literatures, wherein one great saint, sage, whose name was Gautama Muni, and he was approached by one person who wanted to take initiation from Gautama. In those days, it was the culture, tradition, to only give initiations to those who were of Brahminical birth. So Gautama said to him, "What is your gotra?" And he said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, who was your father?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, why don't you ask your mother?" So he went and he asked his mother. And he asked his mother, "Who is my father?" She said, "I don't know." His mother was a prostitute. So he came back, and Gautama said, "Did you ask your mother who your father was?" He said, "Yes." "What did she say?" "She doesn't know." Gautama Muni said, "I'll initiate you. I'll give you diksha." Why? Because he was truthful. The number one principle in Brahminical life is truthfulness. And of course, that is not an easy quality to develop, especially in Kali Yuga, because in this age, it is an age of lying, cheating, and just diplomacy, duplicity, and even speaking what seems to be the truth, but it has a certain slant on it in order to put forth one's own interests. Prabhupada used to use the example. A businessman would say, "For you I make no profit." But then, if he's a businessman, how can he get away without making any profit? He has to make money. Prabhupada would joke sometimes, and they would say that sometimes these businessmen, they have the big mustaches, big, you know, like that. And then when they say, "For you I make no profit," they're laughing. So you don't see them laughing. They keep the big mustache like that. This is Prabhupada's story. So it's the world of cheaters and cheated, right? It's like, you know, we go to, in India especially, I mean, India is a poor country, so not to say anything against the land of India and the people in it, but if you want something done through the ordinary means, you'll never get it done. But if you have a little extra money and you talk to the right person, it happens immediately. We were in our Chaupati temple many years ago when it first started. So we didn't have a phone. So the government controls that, the phone system. So you have to go through the government agencies to get a phone. So we called up and said, we would like a phone. They said, okay, but it'll be about 3 months before we can bring your phone. So then we called the next day and we talked to the right person. We said, we have a little extra encouragement for you. And they said, no problem, we'll have your phone in tomorrow. Pay a little extra money to the right person and the phone was in. So this is the society we live in. Everyone is, you know, somehow, Prabhupada said in India people go to work and they don't even work. They just, sometimes they don't even go to work. They just punch the clock in the morning, go back home, and come in the evening and punch it again. Sometimes they just sit in the office and just drink coffee and gossip all day. And then when somebody wants some work done, it takes them 3 days to get it done. Prabhupada's talking to Gopal Krishna Maharaj in Delhi about the government workers in Delhi. He says, they all draw high salaries and they don't do nothing. They have nice names and they just punch the clock. I guess, and of course in America, it's a little different. In America, they just steal the money and cheat when they're in the office. You know, they get the job done, but then they just, you know, they run away with the secretaries or they, you know, just take out whatever money they can get extra or, you know, it's a cheating affair. Everybody's cheating. So truthfulness in this age is really a rare commodity. Really a rare commodity. It is explained that the quality of truthfulness is that even if one's interest is at stake by speaking the truth, one must speak the truth. And that's the example of Gautama Muni here and this one disciple. He wanted initiation so bad, but he knew he wasn't a Brahmana or couldn't understand. But he spoke the truth anyway. And because he was truthful, Gautama was inspired to give him initiation. So this is a very, very rare quality. One must be honest. Before we can be honest to people in general, we have to be honest with ourselves. That's the first thing. We should not consider ourselves different than what we really are. What are we? And it is explained that a living entity has fallen into this material world. And it's covered by all bad qualities, lust, anger, greed, envy, pride. These things are our constant companions in our existence. So, of course, we're trying to free ourselves from this. But we see the example in the lives of the great souls. They always consider themselves very fallen and very unqualified and very much dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was establishing his movement of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, he took two principles from each of the four sampradayas. And from there's one sampradaya called the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, which is the sampradaya of Rudra. From that sampradaya, he took the principle of complete dependence on the mercy of Krishna. So that is actually our position. We always have to depend on Krishna's mercy in every situation. abilities, birth, qualifications, education, whatever we may have, are not the success of our spiritual life. Our spiritual life success is based on basically two things. One, the qualities that we develop, such as humility, tolerance, pridelessness, truthfulness, honesty, religiousness, knowledge, and the sincere desire to execute Krishna consciousness. That is our qualification. Even if we have a difficulty in executing the process, if one tries to the best of their ability and takes help whenever available, then Krishna sees that within the heart. So therefore, even the most fallen or most unqualified person can become a pure devotee of the Lord when they get the mercy of Krishna and when they get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was one example in the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was performing his Mahaprakash Leela, when he was in the mood of Lord Vishnu, he was accepting the worship of his devotees who were taking Ganges water from the river and bringing it in pots and offering it to him by bathing him in beautiful abhishek and offering him nice foodstuffs, glorification, so much opulence. At that, after the ceremony was over, the Lord became so pleased by his devotees that he started to give out blessings and benedictions. So there was one elderly lady who was assisting the devotees in bringing pots of water to Lord Chaitanya. And she was in the background. She was just filling the pots and giving it to the devotees to take to Lord Chaitanya. She wasn't even coming near the Lord. Lord Chaitanya noticed her, and he asked, "Who is that lady?" They said, "Her name is Dukhi." Dukhi means unhappy. So, it's not a very nice name to have, Dukhi. Of course, Dukhi also means, is there another unfortunate? Frank, one of our greatest of all Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya, her saints, was Dukhi Krishna Das, who later became Shyamananda Prabhu, one of the greatest of all acharyas spreading Krishna consciousness. So when Lord Chaitanya heard her name was Dukhi, he said, "From now on her name will be Sukhi." He changed Dukhi into Sukhi. He blessed her with his special mercy, and she actually became happy. So this is the qualification of spiritual life, that if one is sincerely trying and is honest in their devotional service, honest that we don't present ourselves as something other than we actually are. And what is, we present ourselves as Trinadapi Sunichena Dayorpi Suhishnuna Manina Mamanadena Kirtaniya Siddharahi. That by developing humility, tolerance, and a sense of giving respect to others and not offering respect to oneself, one gets the supreme mercy of the Lord in one's devotional service. And as the verse explains, one can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. Any success in our spiritual life is in one sense a dangerous sign. If you're successful in executing Krishna consciousness, or if you get some distinction, power, position, or you're able to do something, there's a danger that pride comes in. And that pride can be a source of one's fall down in spiritual life. So one should never become proud of whatever they do in spiritual life, nor should one become proud of one's position. Positions come and go. Situations come and go. What's on top can go be on the bottom. What's on the bottom can be on the top by the Lord's grace. Everything can be changed around. So we should always have to remain humble and honest and engage in devotional service. That is the qualification. Not birth, not anything else. These are the only qualifications in our spiritual life. Okay, so I'll stop there because it is already 8:45. Any questions or comments before we end? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Sri Sriman, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Sriman Bhagavatam Raj Granth ki, Sri Sri Kishore Kishore ki, Sri Sri Kartik Vrata ki, Sri Sri Ekadasi Vrata ki, Gold Premanandi. Glories to the Asambu devotees, glories to the Asambu devotees, glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. So today is Ekadashi. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur writes that Ekadashi is considered to be the mother of devotion. That is, it's an opportunity to increase one's devotional service and one's relationship with Krishna by increased hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, and reducing activities that are normal. Not that we stop our service, but we do the needful, but